Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by Wheeler Dealer's very own Ed China. We'd spoken to him on the phone before when he'd done crackpot, motorised shopping trolleys, etc. But it was good to meet him, wasn't it?
Very good. And we looked back at England last night, so yeah. That was quite fun.
And, we lost 3-1. You Dutch. And Martin Kellner joined us with a week of sport on TV. And we'll have an extra bonus clip for you very shortly as well.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. And come on, you lionesses.
Get right behind the girls now.
Oh, for goodness.
It all went pear-shaped for the boys.
Yes.
Very frustrating, wasn't it? I mean, you do feel the narrative around the game, had Jesse Lingard's boot been an inch further back, would have been completely different. Okay, we weren't the best team, but we clung in. We showed we were dogged and we could win 2-1. But, of course, now we're complete trash, which is not true
just
either.
It just changes the narrative, doesn't it? You know, so, but it is frustrating, really. And it's not about playing it out from the back or not. It's about doing it better, isn't it? And you've got to mix it up. Even Pep Guardiola mixes it up. I heard Perry talking about this just now. They don't always go play it out from the back. Sometimes you have to go long, you know,
just to
keep the other team honest.
Relieve the pressure. Well, have
but
a check
in the end, you've got to do it
else.
Better. You just can't give the ball away like that.
I mean, the key really was the midfield, wasn't it? As we could see, we really couldn't get to grips with the midfield. We didn't have all of our first choice personnel out there, and
You know, it was interesting that they picked their Liverpool players, and Gareth left his out. You know, I could see maybe the Spurs players who had a bit of a setback, but you know, maybe he could have picked the players. But it's all being wise after the event. You know, if that goal had gone in, everything would have been different.
We just haven't got someone like. I mean, we've been undone by Modric and De Jong. We haven't got someone that kind of sets the tempo. We haven't got that kind of player, that Gazza type player, have we at the moment? Really, in our midfield.
They had some good players too. They have got some good players. I see. It was
interesting. What do you make of Dumfries?
Yes,
that's a great name, isn't it?
It is. I couldn't work out who was having a worse week, Dumfries or Galloway.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very
much. Come on. There we are.
There we go. Never mind. And Daron, of course. Alan loves his outerwear range. Cote Daron.
Yeah. He certainly does. He's been trolling England today with things like apparently it's not coming home.
Oh, thanks very much.
He played for Borough, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, we'll remember that.
And I thought you meant Alan had.
No, not Alan didn't play for my
man. No, trolling
my great
either.
Days at Borough. No, it wasn't him. I meant Daron. Anyway.
It was an interesting moment. And people haven't considered this, I don't think, about VAR. I like the fact that the linesman waits. You've got to wait. Otherwise, you could spoil it. But the thing about waiting, you saw with England last night, they waited to see if it was offside. It was, but then there was a corner resulting, and the linesman didn't give offside. He gave a corner, which seemed, I bet that will happen quite a lot. And one listener texted me and said, are you worried about the amount of time being added on? And actually, last night, they did add on all the time.
They did,
But there will be games where they don't, so, you know.
I did say to you last night, you were saying VAR is annoying, you said to me on our little exchange.
Well,
and I said it does kill the joy of a beautifully worked goal. It was a lovely goal to watch them put together.
It was.
It gets a decision right, but it's a joy sucker.
It is, isn't it?
It's sucking the joy out of the game. And you might say, oh, that width of the toe cap of a boot was the difference between offside and not. But blimey, it does take the joy out of the game.
I thought Danny Kelly made a good point on Twitter last night. He's saying the coloured boot could soon go out of fashion.
Yeah, I think the green boot.
The green,
the green boot.
Boot
with a white stripe on it could become de rigueur.
What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, they're going to have to... the camouflage pitch
that
boot.
That would work, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, someone's going to have to do something about that because it was such
I
a
did,
show.
I did wonder...
They had stealth boots. Remember they did that with Jets, so you couldn't see them.
Yeah.
Maybe you just won't be able to see their feet. Nike are proper... Nike's blokes in white coats, they're, the boffins
they're working,
are working
on the
a
stealth boot.
A boot you can't see at the moment, yeah.
I did wonder whether there was a local pigeon racing meeting on at the same time as the game. Because there are many birds flying across the screen.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, I did. I couldn't stop noticing.
Maybe it was the reporter sending their copy back. Maybe they've gone old school
they
again.
They have gone very old school.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, all in all, it was a bit frustrating, but yeah. What can you do?
Tales of revenge, sporting tales of revenge today, if you're in the mood. This was a story of a wife who flogged. This is the wife, she flogged.
Yeah,
a wife flogged her husband's £45,000 footy collection, we're told in the Sun today, for just a fiver after she spied him at a match with another woman. He said he happened to be standing next to this woman. He did admit he'd said to her he was going to be at work and he was at the match.
Oh, yeah.
And there happened to be a woman standing next to him.
Yeah.
But, the missus sold all of his collection off for a fiver, included a Spurs City programme from 1958, Chelsea Everton game 46, the 1960 European Cup final, Eintracht Frankfurt Real Madrid, that all went for a fiver, the whole lot. Four or five. Imagine that programme collector when he turned up and said, you do realise what these are worth? Yeah, I only won a fiver before. I'm trying to get up my old man.
Yeah, I think she's not taking the long game, though, Shelley, here, because...
Well, you know her.
Well, I don't, but that's her name.
Okay, so, fair enough. Yeah, you're right.
It says here that the couple are still together, but admit things are pretty tense.
Yeah.
So, of course, if they do break up, you know, they'll
well,
obviously
let's hope
want...
they don't,
well, let's hope they don't, but if they do, you know, the assets that could have been split have gone.
So she's done herself out of...
22 and a half grand.
Yes, she has. That's true.
She hasn't
but
thought
anyway,
it through.
If you've got any tales of revenge along those lines, within reason, because basically the ones we touched on yesterday, your last day payback, were unlawful, weren't they?
Some
many
of them,
you could have got a couple of years for.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Will you watch the third place playoff, Andy? It's an England game, isn't it? I'm going to watch it. Definitely going to watch it.
I don't think I will because I want to watch the England women. And
that's on after. Squeeze all three in potentially, or most of them.
Well, I could, but I think I want to watch the final because I think it'll be a good game. I want to watch the England women because there's something in it, and I'm really excited about it. And I want to stay married, so I probably won't watch the
all good
the game
reasons.
In the afternoon.
Fair enough. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, don't forget later on clips of the week. Even more than I thought we had because I left two out, so they're being added
it's
as
a nice
we speak.
Bumper crop. But, yeah. We were off, weren't we, both of us last
That's
week?
That's right. So we'll be bringing that, and Todd Macklin will be joining us as well. Martin Kellner is back. I know Martin was in Medani.
Yeah, he was in last week. I heard it's very funny.
Yeah. So Martin's week of sport on TV that'll be coming up a little bit later on as we await Alan White. Andy, do you have anything for us?
Yeah, I've got a few facts about some both the sort of tabloid papers I read have sort of come up with some interesting facts about the Women's World Cup.
Mm.
For example, Jamaica restarted their national team in 2014 after a break thanks to ambassador and sponsor Sedelia Marley, the daughter of Bob,
wow.
And the family's charitable foundation. They do quite a lot for sport, the Marley family.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, Bob loved it. Of course, he loved football.
He did.
What else have we got here? The Lionesses have been debating whether they should quit social media during the tournament. We can ask about this. Defender Millie Bright is one of the first to go cold turkey on Twitter and Instagram, wanting to focus on chasing glory. I think I agree with that because I think, you know, it just puts you off.
If you have a bad result or a game doesn't go your way, you don't have a great performance, you don't need that, do you? I mean, most people hopefully will be saying sort of chin up, don't worry about it, but you never know, do you?
No, that's right. China have brought their own chef, but the food won't be their only concern. Apparently, midfielder Wang Shuang signed for PSG last year. She joked about the high number of bald Frenchmen and bought a filter in case the local water made her hair fall out too.
She was joking.
Oh, I think, she
I
was
think
joking.
They pointed out that.
Oh no, she was joking.
She was definitely
joking. I don't think she was serious about that.
Anything else?
Oh yeah, I've got more. I've got other stuff. I mean, I probably should do. We'll come back to the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Oh no, beer sales are set to be boosted by the Lionesses in the World Cup.
Yeah,
which is surprising, really, because you think, as Al Murray would say, surely it's dry white wine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I presume that means the number of men that are going to watch the Women's World Cup.
Mm.
And dogs get stressed when their owners do. I don't know whether your Molly, what she's like when you watch football on TV, say Spurs are losing, does she get a bit stressed?
I've not noticed. She just sort of lies there licking herself.
What was she like? during the final. Of course, you weren't at there during
the
final.
No, I wasn't at home during the final. Yeah,
but she probably could have picked up on your anxiety.
What, all those miles away in Madrid? What a great bond between man and dog.
Connection between you and your Labrador.
I'll have to find out from where she was sort of... She goes back to her owners. She goes on a molly day. She goes back to... She goes back to the breeders.
Because you were away,
so there was no one around.
During the semi-final, though, when you went absolutely mad...
They freaked her out. She starts jumping up.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, that's exciting.
Whatever we were shouting about, the winner of Love Island, for example, not that we would be, she'd be jumping up and down as well. So,
and we've seen a lot of stuff about VAR this week, and it's certainly featured heavily. Sorry, I'm stuttering. It featured heavily last night, and featured heavily the night before.
Well, we may be talking about a story in Africa later on where it's caused major problems.
And I do think the FA have really missed a trick here. It's something I was sort of banging on about earlier when we were talking about the fact that they didn't have it in certain games in the FA Cup. Now they're going to have it in quarterfinal onwards, so it'll be available in the quarterfinal, semi-final and final, but not in other games, which makes a mockery of the competition. I just think they've missed a brilliant opportunity here, because if they'd have said, we're not going to have VAR in the FA Cup...
Because it's not the same everywhere. But, you know...
it's not the same everywhere. It's not true. And basically, it would contrast brilliantly with the mess that's going to be the Premier League next year.
Yeah. The trouble is, though, I was saying, when Mongolia played Bhutan yesterday, they didn't have VAR there, but they'll have it at the finals of the World Cup. So the idea of having a competition so pure, you can have it in every game or no game.
Yeah, but I think the FA Cup's slightly different. That's a worldwide...
You can't have it at Blythe Spartans, can you?
No, you can't. So I don't think you should have it at all in the FA Cup. I think
so. Any competition where you can't have it throughout the competition, you shouldn't have it at all.
That's what I think.
That's bold. That's an 087172234 of a statement. It certainly is. Now, next guest in the studio is a man we've spoken to a number of times over the years on the phone, because it's normally been at the site of somewhere where he's about to break a speed record on a lawnmower, a garden, a shopping trolley. You'll know him, of course, from TV, from Wheeler Dealers and other shows as well. Ed China, hi, Ed.
Hello, how you doing?
Grease Junkie is your book of moving parts, your autobiography.
Yeah, well, pretty much it's memoirs, possibly more than an autobiography. So it's kind of like a loose collection of rambles, really.
There's some beautiful childhood pictures, though.
Well, thank you.
I must say, there's the school uniform one. Is a bit
That's classy, isn't it? Back when that was fashionable.
So where did the love of cars come from?
Well, I was a Lego kid growing up, so obviously I liked taking things apart and building stuff. And then, of course, I started doing that same stuff to all the things around the house. And then I realised I kind of picked up on the fact my mother didn't really appreciate things not working, so I then started to fix them again. And then, really, my first car, we just wanted to, after our exams and stuff, wanted to drive down to the beach, and my mum was using her car. It was so unreasonable, so I had to go and buy my own. And then on the way back, it broke down. I suddenly realised I knew nothing about how cars worked. And so, but obviously, it's just like anything else. Obviously, there's a way of learning. So I just got sort of stuck in, and the rest was history, really.
But you've got a degree in engineering, haven't you?
Yeah, engineering product design, actually just over the river at South Bank University. Well, actually, on the same side of the river, but over there.
When was doing up and fixing cars? When did that stop sating you? When did you start thinking, what if we put an engine in this? What have we motorised that?
Yeah, it started off. I mean, so I did when I was doing my degree, I had to do a year out in industry, and it was either going to work at Legoland with rebuilding that, or I thought special effects would be kind of fun. And so I then sort of just turned up at Shepperton Studios in a sand rail, which is kind of like a car with no body panels, just lots of tubes, and a little scrapbook of things I'd made at home, and then said, any chance of getting a job in the special effects industry? And it just so happened to go, well, can you start tomorrow? And it's like, right. And then my first job was smashing up one of the cars on Father Ted. So the second series is the storyline. Where Father Ted hits a cyclist on this raffle car, or this car they're going to raffle, and he tries to fix the dents. And then after the dawn chorus comes, and the car is trashed, and that was my job, which is fantastic.
Oh, so excellent.
That's kind of how that started. And then that led me on to the idea of we did a wheelchair that actually one of the storylines was this wheelchair was on this kind of weird possessed or magic hill, and then Father Jack was kind of dragged up the hill by magic and then chucked off the end, and we had to make the wheelchair. And then as far as that, I was thinking, well, what if you to build a vehicle that you could basically order your food, your takeaway food from your living room, but be outside the restaurant. It was like, that's a really dumb idea. So I thought, well, I have to do it now. So then that's how the sofa got born, the casual loafer.
Yeah.
And really, that's really when it all started to kick off. Because because I have an understanding of how stuff works, I guess I have this kind of instinct. Mm. And then you see, well, if I combine that bit with that bit, I can end up with something wonderful like driving furniture.
Yeah. Where is all this stuff now? Is it kept somewhere?
It's in a top secret base in the middle of the countryside out here. But yeah, no, we've kind of hung on to most of it. So it's kind of more more Comfy Banana was a company for a while, you know, building all this stuff for advertising, and it's now more of a car collection. But yeah, you know, I just can't sell it, frankly.
And he's keen to get the work here down the river. So I mean, you've worked with a lot of sort of amphibious cars, haven't you, Andy? So maybe they can.
Can you make an amphibious studio?
Absolutely. I know. I'll take that as a challenge. Yeah, if you guys are on the budget, I'll make it
motorised. but is amphibious
dead
as well.
Easy. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I would love to. It'd be fantastic. Well, it's a bit choppy in the Thames sometimes, though, isn't it?
Yeah. The giant shopping trolley is amazing. You've motorised a shopping trolley. I think we talked to you about that on the show. But this giant one, was this a kind of a prop that you had?
Yeah, well, it's 3.5 metres high. We did it for the Jackass premiere. It was going to be in Leicester Square many months ago. Well, it was in Leicester Square. And because they'd blown the one up they used in the movie. And ended up hanging on to that. And originally it was electric. And I went to sort of a hydraulic drive with a bike engine. And now I'm going back to electric. And in fact, hopefully maybe later this year, I'll have a chance to have another go at the record. But now I think the current record for fastest shopping trolley, because it does exist, is about 70-odd miles an hour. So with something that's 3.5 metres tall, that's going to be a little tiny bit terrifying, but it'll be okay.
Which ones do you still hold records-wise?
It's a good point. I don't know. I think I've recently lost the shed record, and I think we lost the fastest furniture record a while back as well, 117 miles an hour now. So that's something else I'd like to do this year, is take the sofa, maybe drive it across America, and actually then go to the salt flats, because that is the holy grail of speed records.
Of course it is. That's what you
and
do.
And then do like 120, 130, just shut that record down. Surely nobody else would be stupid enough to ever go. So that's really my cunning plan to get a few back. But I think we've still got fastest office and fastest bathroom, and you know, so I've got a fair few of them still.
Rotating glitter ball, you want to?
It's one of those things. You know, for years when we were doing Comfy Banana, I had so many ideas for vehicles, and I realised after a while that if I spent even just sort of 6 months a year on each project, I'd be long gone before I'd even halfway through my list. So I thought, well, let's just hone it down. But the glitter ball has always been the tough one, because trying to have double sort of or compound curved glass is hard to. If you look at the London Eye, of course, obviously you can see there's distortions in the glass. But I thought it'd be really cool just to have a glitter ball that you could drive down the street, you know, maybe for a red carpet event, and you could turn up, the glitter ball would open up, and there'd be sort of, you could come out and it'd be spinning around.
That's nice.
It'd be pretty sexy for London. So I think we'll give it a go.
If disco comes back, you'd be laughing.
It's bound to come back. Everything comes back.
Have you done a Lego car?
I haven't actually. We talked to Lego a while back about doing that, and then they brought out the Veyron, I think they did, or was it the Chiron or something. So they have actually made a full size working sort of Lego car, but it'd be quite fun to give it a go.
And you're working more with electric vehicles. That's the way things are going.
Absolutely.
You've electrified a ice cream van.
It was another Guinness World Records as it started out. So we're going to do the world record. Well, we are about to do the world record for the world's first sort of all electric ice cream van. And then, of course, as I'd said yes to it, it's a great idea. I suddenly realised, of course, I now had to find a way of powering the ice cream machine itself by electric rather than the diesel engine it normally powers it. And so finally I had a solution for ice cream without hydrocarbon sprinkles. I thought, hang on, we're onto something here. And I've now developed a kit that will convert any existing ice cream van, but also any future ones. And so now, you know, because I know Camden Council has just banned
there's been a thing
ice cream
about
that. Well, exactly. So we now have the answer, which is fantastic. And literally we're going to test it throughout the summer, and let's hope it's slightly better than today with the weather, you know, over the summer. And then basically it'll be, you know, we'll be putting them into ice cream vans, you know, around the world.
You could save a whole industry. Here.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
People
with ice saving
cream
the world in a tiny
really
way.
Really worried.
You wouldn't want for 99s if you managed to do that. There'd always be a fresh one waiting for you wherever you went.
Brilliant.
So Ed's book, Grease Junkie, A Book of Moving Parts, is available now in hardback, published by Penguin,
Virgin Books. Yeah.
That's it. Lovely to see you, Ed. Thanks very much. No doubt, next time you're doing something madcap, we will be on the phone.
Yes.
And discussing.
Well, maybe you should come with.
We should. Yeah. Andy, that's right. You can sit in the back of the ice cream van.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, this is a fun idea I've just seen on Twitter in NatWest Cricket. They've got a bowling machine that can replicate some of the most famous overs from the past 40-odd years of cricket. And Freddie Flintoff will be facing. So, basically, it's Freddie versus Holding, that famous over he bowled to Boycott. That was unplayable. And he's not going to get near any of these if the machine's as good as the original. Freddie versus Warne in 1994, so he'll be getting six of the Gatting balls. Freddie versus Freddie in 2005. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Fairy gets on.
And Freddie versus Ali. Ali. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Not Muhammad.
No, I hope not.
Well, he did try the boxing.
He did try a bit of boxing.
So
in 2017. Yeah. What a fun idea that is.
Do you see Infantino playing football? There have been all the dignitaries have been over in France having a bit of a kick about.
Anybody give him a good kicking?
No, he's got a little bit of a derby on him, but you know, he's a man of a certain age. I think he wasn't wearing one of those cut football shirts. There was a little bit of room in it, but you know. Should it matter that he's not the guy? I mean, Platini was pretty tidy, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he wasn't great.
There's nowhere to go after that, is there?
No, there isn't. No. I'm talking to Freddie Flintoff. Did you see this thing where he's hooked on a podcast called The Flat Earthers? And he said, he really is. And there's evidence that suggests the world isn't round.
Wow.
I don't know. What about looking from those shots taken from space? Well, round.
Have you got his take on it? Maybe it's a flat disc. No idea. Set up? Is that what Fred thinks? Or?
I have no idea. Okay. Absolutely. People believe this stuff.
Do you have anything else for us, Andy?
The first Women's World Cup game only lasted 80 minutes. They only thought women could play for 80 minutes at a go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When was the first World Cup then?
I love a bit of the facts. Yeah. Hold on. I have got them, except when I want them. Oh, here it is. Yes. Brilliant, isn't it?
Wasn't played.
Oh, yeah, 1991 in China.
Not that long ago, then.
No, no, I remember it. And, only 12 countries completed. Each game lasted just 80 minutes.
Oh.
And the prize money on offer in this tournament is $24 million, double of that of 2015.
Yeah.
But peanuts compared to the $315 million given to teams at the men's tournament last year. And I presume, it's to do with the TV rights for the Men's World Cup. I think, obviously, at this stage, we generate a lot more money than the Women's World Cup.
I mean, it's a bold statement tonight. Primetime BBC One from 7:30 through to 10 o'clock is the opening ceremony, France versus South Korea.
Yeah, I think they're going to take a bit of a pasting myself. But they've got no choice. If they're going to cover the tournament, they have to do the opening game. I agree. I think BBC Two might have been a better idea, but I suppose they feel politically they've got to put it on, you know.
Yeah, but it's a whole primetime evening of a game not featuring England, which proves kind of their intent on showing the
That's
game.
That's true. I've got a tease.
I think that the opening ceremony will involve kids, don't you? I think there's quite a lot of kids running around.
There'll be dragons involved.
Various shapes, possibly a ball, maybe a map of France.
There'll be a nod to the fact that it's the Women's World Cup, so I think there'll be an element of that. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I think it would be. There are no women in the opening ceremony. It's a men-only opening ceremony.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's the way you look at it, Andy.
No.
That'll be fantastic.
Well, that'll be ridiculous.
Andy Jacobs in Chauvinism way. Storm. You'll be trending on Twitter.
I probably am.
Wants all men in opening ceremony.
No, and all women.
Kara's voice had recovered last night. Do you know that thing when you come back from a stag do and you need 24 hours to get it out of your system?
Was he all right, was he?
Yeah, he sounded all right. It was almost like, I don't know if he's back home or he's probably still in Portugal doing the other games, but it definitely smacked to the fact that he didn't know he was going to be on 24 hours before on the Portugal-Switzerland. And I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Neville roped him in. And said, come and have a chat with us, Gary. Because he was that thing when you come back 4 days away with the boys.
Well, he's probably celebrating the old.
Well, of course Champions he was. League, That's exactly what was happening. But I said he probably had a dry night the night before. Good night's kip. and sounded like his old self last night on the telly. So.
Fair enough. Do you want a quick T20 birthday spread?
So I've got to guess the age of this person, yeah?
Or, I think you'll be within five. I think
within 5 years, yeah.
It's the great jazz saxophonist. Was he? It's jazz, smooth jazz saxophonist.
Jazz smooth.
Kenny G. And,
Kenny G.
I was in a lift with him when the speaker failed. I said, come on, Kenny.
Can't you pick up the slack? You got your soprano sax with you? The soprano sax can be a beautiful instrument. Well, actually, not in the soft jazz, smooth jazz envelope. You can let rip.
It's the easy listening side of it, isn't
John Coltrane
it?
Really? Would do now and again. But in Kenny's hands, it's liquid, isn't it, really?
I never realised his last name is Gorlick. Kenny Gorlick. That's what the hell. No wonder he calls himself Kenny G. It's a much better name, isn't it, really?
But you wouldn't listen.
You want to go for Gorlick? Go for Gorlick.
That's it.
Talk Sport adverts.
So Kenny G, he's got very young hair like Dennis Law, isn't he?
He has, actually, yeah.
So it's quite a tough one. He's probably older than he looks. I'd say he's 59.
Oh, well done. You just got in the 63.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Kenny G, 63. You've got to have a system.
That's right.
But he's got young hair, as we said. I haven't seen him recently. He may look like an old prune these days.
No, he still looks the same, judging by the photo I've just seen.
Oh, okay, fair enough, yeah.
Could be an old photo, of course.
Touched up. So, with the photo, obviously. To be reunited once again, because we've missed him this last few weeks with squad number 9, Martin Kellner, and his week of sport on TV.
Indeed, I mean, it's a thrill for me to be back.
Yeah,
well, I had the benefit of listening to that last week. I enjoyed
Danny
it.
And Quinny, yeah?
It's a good section. I thought this will be good on the show.
Yeah, good. Well, right. let's hope it is.
We've reclaimed it.
I'm obviously getting fired up for the Women's World Cup,
of course
we were just saying before we came on air.
Yeah.
It's sort of pretty well, it's a whole 2.5 hours tonight on BBC One.
Yeah.
From 7:30 on a Friday.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Let's hope it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching there was a programme on BBC last week, which was Scotland's journey to the World Cup, the Women's World Cup finals. And the first two goals, they got through against Poland 3-2. And the first two goals that they conceded, they were 2-0 down against Poland, were just comedy goals, you know, really? Like you sometimes see, you know, massive respect and all that, but you do sometimes see it in women's football. And I thought, well, I must mention that. And then watching England last night, I thought, it's not just women's football, you get the comedy goals.
We're good for a comedy goal.
Very good for a comedy goal.
Yeah. I enjoyed the football last night, mainly for the humour in Sky, obviously had the rights to it.
Yeah.
And we're sort of building it up as, I've lost count of the number of times Martin Tyler or Gary Neville said it's a major, another semi-final epic, they said at one stage, where, at the time when it was 1-1. I thought to myself, you know, really, they should stop saying this is a major football match, because it was. It's better than a friendly, but on the notch of, you know, football events, it wasn't that far above a friendly. And if you looked on Twitter, people were comparing it to the Freight Rover Trophy. It's one for the teenagers.
Would it have been bigger than Le Tournoi? Remember the last trophy
we won? It was bigger than Le Tournoi. Yeah. I think it's a good tournament. Yeah. I've enjoyed it. It's better than friendlies, like you say.
It's better than friendlies, yeah.
I see John Cross reporting yesterday that England have lost the Le Tournoi Cup, you know, the actual trophy won back in 98. It's gone. We've actually, England, the only thing we've won.
Where's Pickles when you need
him? Well, exactly. I think he was making the same point. Pickles out.
How brilliant would it be if Pickles found it?
Yeah. Well, it would be a miracle.
Pickles would be
dead for about 50 years.
Yeah.
Poor old Pickles.
Yeah,
but I think the punditry last night was great. They left about an hour at the end for the punditry, and I don't know whether you saw the little jousting between Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville about how defenders should be aggressive.
Yeah.
Basically, John Stones was being. If you were wondering why John Stones hasn't started so often for Manchester City this season, there was really a bit of an illustration there. But the two of them were saying, "No, when you're defending, because he lost his man, etc., etc. When you're defending, you've got to be aggressive.
They did the mimes, didn't they?
They did the mimes.
There was quite, if you do it with the sound off, it was quite good.
John says, he took a massive risk, and the goal that should have been, if it hadn't been for VAR, it was he started it with that sort of very risky pass out from his own goal line. You know, so
I mean, Delic did the same thing earlier in the game, you know.
Look, it's one of those things. You've just got to do it better. I don't think the argument is whether you play it out from the back.
Well, that was the argument they were the whole time. Do you just hoof it upfield? And if that's when things aren't going too well, the temptation is to just lump it forward, isn't it? Mm. But as you say, and I think Gary Neville agrees with you, Andy, that, you know, you don't abandon what you've been building for that long, you know, playing it out from the back. Mm. So, but it was an interesting argument which sort of kept on for ages, you know. And I normally, when I'm watching a match on a Thursday, say, I'll switch over to Question Time so I can keep in touch with what's happening, you know, on Council TV.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping in touch with what's happening in the world, because I feel we ought to know, not just about, you know, especially working for Talk Radio, I should know.
You feel like you should know about what's happening in the world.
I have a vague idea of what's going on.
Okay.
And but you know, I was so riveted by the by Jamie Redknapp and Gary Neville and
their
Jamie
talk of defending. Yeah.
I thought it was.
An interesting question about, because last week for the Champions League, I sat down and watched the game, the builder, and I never do that. I tend, because I have to watch a lot of football, I tend to watch first whistle to final whistle, and I don't really watch much else. Sometimes I don't even watch the halftime. I go to Greyhound Channel. And,
what a life you lead.
I meant to watch the Greyhound Channel. What number is it?
431.
431. I make a note of that.
Oh, yes, you're
missed that.
But you know, but I think, but it is interesting that when, you know, often there is some good value to be had in all this stuff, and it was interesting to hear that you stayed with it for.
I stayed with it all the time. I thought it was great. It was great fun, and you know, because it's quite aggressive. Carragher and Neville, you don't know, do they like each other, or is it a very?
Oh no, I think
there's a lot of respect.
I think they do. Really.
You think so?
They have a bit of a pop at each other, but they do. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's just that sometimes when Jamie Carragher's giving his view on defending, they're all in shot, obviously, all the time.
Yeah.
And you do see Gary Neville, if you can read body language.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm an expert in that.
Judy James of Talks Sport.
Very much so.
Nice knowledge.
But if you look at the body language of Gary Neville, and you think he's not quite. Yes, I'm sure he respects him and everything. I'm sure they respect each other, both as pundits and as you know, players.
Mm.
But if you look at that, there's not a lot of respect in some of those looks that you get from Gary
Neville. You don't need to be a body language expert when Roy Keane's on, do you, really?
No,
you pick up on the signs quite easily.
And talking about hoofing it forward, if anybody was watching the big match revisited on BT Sport this week, two fantastic West Ham matches from the 74-75 season.
Right. Mm.
Keith Robson scored a great goal in the 3-0 defeat of Middlesbrough. But I'll tell you what, I noticed a few things from that. You've got no close-ups for any of it of the managers. You would not even...
They would never cut to the managers at all.
You would not know, or mention them, you would not know John Lyle. It wasn't John Lyle's West Ham. You wouldn't know he was the manager from the commentary.
Well, there was no technical area. They'd occasionally step, most of them, just sat there, didn't they, with a wood buyer. Yeah.
But there was no, you know, there was no view of anything other than the match.
Yeah.
And no mention of the managers. I don't know who was the Wolves manager.
Well, the only shot you'd ever get of the managers would be the one that the low camera that they were using for the match, because they would just, you'd see a kind of side shot of the bench. And if they happened to appear from it, that's the only time you'd ever see the manager. You'd never have a clean shot of them the way you do now. The camera trained on them all the time.
But it was interesting. I love the, you know, they're all the big match.
Yeah.
So Brian Moore's commentary, great fun. He used words you don't hear that much in commentary these days. He said West Ham, it'd be interesting to see how West Ham will react to that 3-0 defeat administered by Arsenal.
Administered. It sounds like it was a kind of colonic irrigation.
It does, really.
Well, it probably was if Arsenal were beating Spurs, from my point of view.
Anyway, they beat Jackie Charlton's Middlesbrough 3-0.
Yeah.
That one, 74-75. And the next day, there was another 74-75. It's marvellous. So good. It's great.
Well, if you've got no memory, it's like live sports.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Fantastic.
West Ham 5, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1.
Wow, what about that? That's something you might want to check out, Martin. Nigel Botherwell on the Excellent Fisherman's Blues pointed out that they have reissued on DVD Go Fishing with Jack Charlton.
Oh, really?
Where Jack did this series on TV many years ago where he would, you know, he'd go to a bit of sea fishing, bit of river, he'd go through the card. And it's been reissued on DVD. You also did a...
Well, I've seen the one we did in Fantasy Football where Jack was incredibly cruel to animals?
No, no, he wasn't. He was he dispatched the rabbit. But that was a kind of a different show. That
there's
was
a euphemism hunting. For you. Yeah. Yeah. Dispatched the rabbit.
You're
it's
right.
A new one on me, that.
You're right, Martin. Oh, I've just dispatched the rabbit. But no, this was a kind of country people, country ways thing that Jack did. This is purely fishing, as far as I know. Right. But it's out on DVD, £9 for cash.
Well, I've seen it in charity shops with the Roger Whittaker albums.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure you have.
And they sell help books.
I don't know if Roger Whittaker ever dispatched the rabbit.
Well, he might have done it.
May very well have done it. So that was fun.
Different times.
I'm not finished yet, have I? I can carry on.
Keep going.
I've been watching a lot. The other thing I thought about the England match, I'm always interested to see the new sponsors, if you like, or the new advertising thing. Have you ever heard of Alipay, either of you?
No.
No.
Well, Alipay were sponsoring it last night.
Right, yeah.
So, as I always do, I looked them up.
And what do they do?
They're an app. Right. And they're an app that you can go on if you want to do various financial things, transfer money and stuff, which you can do from your bank account anyway. But
a bit like the Pen Pal, as my wife calls them.
Yeah.
Does your wife call PayPal Pen Pal?
So you can pay it on Pen Pal. I said, I'll write to them.
Yeah. Yes. Drop them a line.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. You've got the Basildon bond out.
Yeah. But you're doing it now.
But there's a couple of different bits of this Alipay app. One is called Go Dutch.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, that'd be interesting, Go Dutch, especially as England were playing Holland. So I looked on the site, and Go Dutch is simply you put in what the meal has cost.
Yeah.
And it divides it by two. And who the heck got... Yeah, it's
kids come to, Martin.
So it doesn't work out exactly like you had the wine, I had the beer, you had the soup. And that's what you want from an app.
It tells you how to go...
Well, is that the sort of bloke you are? You're like, no, I didn't have. I only had three dumplings. You had four.
Well, you know I'm not
No,
like
I know
that.
You're not like that. But it's just, I mean,
carrots? Just finally, it reminded me of a Seinfeld sketch where he buys his dad an electronic organiser that does all these fantastic things, or fantastic things you could do in the 90s, and all his father can do on it is calculate 15% of the bill in a restaurant. And he said, so, thank you, Jerry, for that tip calculator.
Well, we've got a clip coming up in the clips of the week later on that ties right in with the Woody Allen film Take the Money and Run.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, his first movie.
Yeah. And when he was playing the cello in a marching band.
Yeah.
And they spoke to his cello teacher. But you'll realise what that clip is when we play it to you at 3:30.
Brilliant.
So you're back on air tonight on Talk Radio?
I'm back on air tonight, prime time in Ho Chi Minh City, 1 o'clock.
Well, they might be listening. The good people at Alipay, do your Alipay material, because they're based in Huangzhou in China.
Are they?
So if you do your Alipay...
Oh, you're big there.
Do your Go Dutch stuff. They'll love you there.
I've got a listener in Hong Kong.
They found us Jack Ma. So shout out to Jack Ma tonight. And you
Jack
could,
Ma?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, he owns the thing that's the Chinese version of eBay, and that's where he made all his money.
Yeah. Good old Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, they're taking over.
Has a look of Alan Knott.
Does he?
Yeah, a little bit. Has a look of Alan Knott.
Has he got the gloves?
No, he hasn't got the gloves on. Okay. He doesn't wear a little cap. Or, So, there we are.
Not time for the Cricket World Cup, but I did watch a wee bit of it. 11:55 at night. It's a lot, you know, if you want to watch it
on
Council TV.
Yeah. Not great for kids, that, is it?
No, and I can't, you know, the great thing about terrestrial TV for cricket
is... Depends how bad a parent you are, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I watched Bangladesh versus... I've forgotten who the heck they were playing now. Bangladesh.
There'll be another one in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's one game every five minutes when it's not raining.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. As promised, a little bonus clip. And it was from Fisherman's Blues, Andy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Nigel had a text. He had an inquiry from a listener.
Text message here from Graham, who says, "Hi, Nigel. Do you know anything about Shropshire Gold Boilies? Nick Burridge Bates. Heard great reports on it." Thanks, Graham. Sorry, Graham, I cannot help you. I have never heard of them, never used them, so I'm afraid I can't advise you on that one.
So after all that, why did he bother
Reading
why,
it out.
Why bother to read it out if you don't know the answer?
Well, yeah. Good question. Good old Nigel. That's us. We'll catch up with you next week. Jimmy Anderson's in the studio. We've got Stefan Dennis, Paul Robinson from Neighbours, Alan Smudger Smith, and we'll be talking about the new Maradona documentary with the director, Asif Kapadia. So anyway, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.